That's right. This is the Monday Morning Mechanic Podcast. This is the Dirt Bike Channel Podcast. This is Kyle Brotherson. I've got my lovely wife, Karen Brotherson. Say hello.
Hello, hello.
And I've got my awesome son, Case, here. Say hello, Case.
Hey.
Is that all you can say for the fans?
Hey. Hey.
What else you got?
Dunlop tires hooking up good.
Who?
The Dunlop tires are hooking up good.
Oh, my gosh. Dunlop tires. Oh, it
Ryan
is.
Ryan Dungy days.
Okay, it is late Sunday night, you guys. It's 9.02 p.m. when we're recording this. Someone else is putting the baby to bed again. This is...
struggles.
It struggles. But what we're doing is we're recording the Glendale Monday Morning Podcast so that you guys can listen to this. We're putting in the long hours. We're burning the candle at both ends, aren't we, Karen?
Yes, definitely.
It's actually more work than you'd think, and it's basically because of the two-year-old. Because it's a lot of work. Sundays are busy for us, right?
Yeah, they're pretty busy, but it's nice.
Day of rest is not, it isn't really the thing with us.
Well, let's talk about Arizona. That's my home.
Arizona. So
home.
What do you know about Glendale, Karen?
Oh, you know, it's pretty much the bomb, diggy wiggy, Valley of the Sun. The place with the best sunsets I've ever seen in my life.
They do have really good sunsets in Arizona. I'll give you that.
Holler.
I think I've decided why it is. I think it's because the mountains are so far off. You're seeing so much of the like air between here and there. It is beautiful. And I was trying to think of a scientific reason why. I think I have it nailed, but this isn't a science podcast. This is a race supercross podcast. So we're going to jump into that rather than talk about like, you know, sunsets.
They already have the science of supercross. So, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah. So but it was the first Triple Crown of the year. So, Case, what's the difference between a regular supercross race and a Triple Crown? Can you break it down?
Well, a Triple Crown race is like where you have three like mains, and if you win both, you try to win both.
All three.
And if, and they're not 20 minutes. They're all 10 minutes, and yeah.
Well, I think they have different amounts. I think that in the 250s, they're like 8, and then in the 450s, they're like 12. I can't remember. They've changed around, but basically what Case is saying is instead of having one main event for the night, you have to qualify during the daytime, and then that gets you into three different main events, main one, main two, and main three, and the whole idea is it's kind of like golf points where if you get first place in the first main, you get 1 point. If you get second place, you get 2 points on down. So if you get 10th place, you get 10 points. The whole idea for the night is to get the least amount of points out of the first out of the three mains. And so ideally, you want to get 1-1-1, which gives you then 3 points at the end, which would be the lowest point total of anyone. So it's a really cool, it's a different format. Because the races are shorter, so it actually opens it up historically to some different riders, maybe like riders that can't do a 20 or like the longer mains, like say in the 450s, like Justin Brayton is an older guy. He's like 34, 35, 36, something like that. He can't really hang for 20 minutes, but he can hang for 10.
Yeah.
And so it kind of opens it up for some guys like that. Last night, there weren't too many like super surprises. I feel like other Triple Crowns that we've had in the past, they were a little bit more of a mix up where you had kind of more of a mix of riders. Last night, it was pretty dominant with the top, you know, two or three riders in both heats. So what do you think about the Triple Crowns, Karen? Are you a fan of the Triple Crown format or what's your thoughts?
Well, when I was first learning about them, it was a little confusing with the points. But now that I've kind of wrapped my brain around it for the last few years, I've realized I do like them because you kind of separate the men from the boys, you know, because consistency will be the key. And Ken Roczen was talking about how the track breaks down a little bit more rapidly when you have three main events for two different sets of riders, right? And so there's a lot more time on the track, and so it breaks it down a little bit more. And so I feel like the ruts get deeper. And I mean, when we were in Anaheim, the ruts were up to almost my knee, and it was intense, you know?
Yeah, and we were thinking about it. If you just take the 450s, normally in a main, and we're not talking about all the qualifying and stuff, but normally in a main event with all of the best guys out there, it's 20 minutes plus one lap, and then you had the two heats before that. So each heat is like six minutes. So you can go 6 minutes on heat one, 6 minutes on heat two. There's 12 minutes, and then you have the, you know, the 20 minutes in the main. So you're about 30, you know. What would that be? That would be 30.
Don't make 32. Me do math.
It'd be like 32 minutes. But that's splitting the classes. If you just talk about like these triple crowns, you have at least 36 minutes where it's all of the main guys going. And the other thing why I think some of the main best riders don't like the triple crown is because they know that they're going to have to do gate drops three different times against all of the best guys. When on a regular night, they only have to do one gate drop against all the best guys, because in the heat classes, it's only half.
Yeah.
Right. They split that up. And so with these triple crowns, they know that they're going to have to do three gate drops. Tonight, it was different. We'll get to that in just a minute when we talk about the 450s, but let's not spoil that. We'll talk about the 250s first. Last week in Anaheim 2, the 250 was kind of like the fun one. It was the one where there was so much carnage and everything. And I
like,
will,
that's fun.
And I will just say this. You have to kind of get into the sport a little bit until you start paying attention to this. But Karen, think about all the awesome, really, really awesome 250 races we've seen over the last 3 or 4 years. We were missing that when we first started paying attention, because we were only watching 450s. What would you say to the people who only tune in for the 450 stuff?
Well, do you want Karen's real opinion?
Of course I do.
So when we went to Anaheim this round and we went to the qualifying, we kind of walked down before everyone was actually seated. So it was, you know, in the middle of the day. And we were there with Kevin Egbert. And he and his buddy, what's his name?
Cameron.
Yes. Sorry, Cameron. They were talking about how they actually love coming to watch the guys that are trying to qualify for the 250s, because that's where like the crazy crashes happen, you know? And so it's true. There were a lot of guys just giving it all they've got, and they're crashing all over the place. And it's a little more intense to just watch it. And so we were just down on the main floor level watching them sky above us, and there's a massive difference between the 250 qualifying to the 450 qualifying. So that's where I was going with that. It's more entertaining.
Well, the 250 stuff is super entertaining. In my mind, it's kind of like, it's almost like college football versus NFL. That's not really a great analogy, because I love college football more than the NFL. But the 250 racing, there are some really hard, crazy racing going on there. But something that was really interesting that I thought that Ken Roczen said in the post-race interview...
I knew you were going to say
that. I thought about it just now. He said that a couple of those starts that they had, because it was like 100 and almost 140 yards in that arena, that stadium down there where
something.
The Cardinals play. It was a super long start, and it always is. And he said it was weird because he said it almost felt like a 250 start because people weren't getting off the gas soon enough. He kind of made it sound like 250 starts are worse than 450 starts because the 250 guys don't know when to let off the gas. And so they're always blowing that first corner because they're
plowing into each other.
Yeah, because they're so hyped up. But he's like, in the 450s, they've got it dialed a little bit better, where the starts aren't quite so chaotic, is what he said.
Yeah.
Which I hadn't thought of before, which was pretty cool. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
But anyway, in that 250, so it was, they had chaos. There was a bunch of chaos throughout the night. Let's see. So we'll talk about the just main one, main two, main three. First things that I kind of wrote down here was that Craig got knocked off the track in the first turn in main one, and I don't think he could finish the night. I think Craig had a really difficult night. Like he
didn't finish.
Christian Craig. And yeah. That was tough to see. Couple of guys.
Everyone was rooting for him because of the last week.
Well, yeah.
You know, there's a big team Christian Craig out there.
Absolutely,
now,
because of the whole Dylan Frannis Christian Craig thing. And so there was a moment there, I think, in that first main where Christian Craig was right behind Dylan Frannis.
Oh, yeah. And everyone's like, is he going to take him out? Is he going to take him out? And we're like, no, he's not going to take him out, because he's already said that he's a clean rider and he's not about revenge.
But
his revenge would be winning.
He did say that, but you have to wonder if it's in the back of his mind. But my thought was this.
He's a good family man.
My thought was this. Christian Craig probably can't catch Dylan Frannis. I mean, he was like two or three bike lengths behind him, and I'm like, he's not going to catch him. Dylan Frannis.
He wanted to.
Dylan Frannis is I'm not a Dylan Frannis fan guy, but the dude is a beast on a bike, and I don't think Christian Craig could have caught him and keep it on two wheels. I mean, maybe he could have ghost rode the bike into him, and I was wondering
whatever.
I was wondering if he was going to do that. The other thing that I noticed is Justin Cooper, poor dude.
Oh.
He goes into the day with a big points lead, like, I don't know, like 15 points or something. And we turned on qualifying practice for just like a second in the middle of the day, like first qualifying practice. Me and Case were watching it. Weren't you there, Case?
Yeah.
And Justin Cooper just goes down in the whoops hard.
Not the whoops, it was the sand section.
You're right. It wasn't the whoops, it was the sand. Good call. They jump into the sand. It's a good thing I got Case here to keep me on track. They were jumping. There was an option to jump into this sand section on kind of a turn, and he jumped into it and just like went over the bars and laid there forever. It's like he got the wind knocked out of him or something. Because I think he ended up coming back for the other qualifying practices. But his night was rough. I think he had like in main two, he had a lead, and then he just dumped it in the corner, and the dude was—he looked like he'd been playing football because he had a lot of dirt on him by the end of the night. But he ends up in main one; he's 17th. Now think about it: this is the points leader, and you end up 17th out of 20th or 22. And then in main two, Justin Cooper is in ninth place, finishes in ninth, and then finally by the third main event, he gets it together and he finishes number one. So he ended up being ninth overall for the night, lost a ton of points. And he still barely maintained the points lead, but I think it's Ferrandis right behind him, right? Yeah. So Justin Cooper in the overall point standing after, Glendale, you still have Justin Cooper as the leader. He'll still have the red plate only by 3 points. Dylan Ferrandis is only 3 points behind him. And then it's Brandon Hartranf in third, and then Austin Faulkner in fourth. So Austin Faulkner, he was the overall winner last night in Glendale. Casey's got a question here, but Austin went one in the first main, one in the second main, and then third in the third main for the overall win of the night. Case, what was your question?
Like, how is Brandon
Hartranf
in front of Austin Faulkner?
Because Austin Faulkner had that race a couple times ago where he didn't finish. Remember? He had that super, I think, was it last week? Had like a super hard crash in the whoops and didn't finish?
Maybe.
So, yeah, I thought
Austin Faulkner got a sweep. He got 1, 2, and 3.
Like, no, because in that last...
Maybe I had a weird dream.
No, because look...
I'm dreaming Supercross.
No, because look, Dylan Ferrandis, look at Dylan Ferrandis on the second line. He went 2, 2, 2. And Justin, in that last main, Justin Cooper was number one. So in the last main, the finishing order was Justin Cooper, then Dylan Ferrandis, then Austin Faulkner. And Austin Faulkner knew the only thing he had to do was...
beat Dylan Ferrandis.
No, he didn't have to beat him. He just had to be right behind him because he couldn't... He just had to be right behind Dylan Ferrandis. He didn't have to beat him. He just couldn't have a bunch of people in between him and Dylan.
Sure.
And so, because Dylan was super consistent last night, 2-2-2. Austin Faulkner was 1-1-3. So that was good. Also, Michael Mosman finished on the podium there because he got a 4-4-6. So he finished fourth in the first one, fourth in the second one, sixth in the last one to round out on the podium, which was cool for him because I don't know that he's ever podiumed before.
No, I don't think so either.
So Michael Mosman, that was pretty cool. So yeah, had Kawasaki number one, Yamaha number two, Husqvarna number three, and then you had KTM, Brandon Hartranf rounding out four. So Mitchell Oldenburg is in sixth. Alex Martin ended up seventh place. Derek Drake in eighth. Who else do we need to call out here?
Nah.
Hey, Michael Lieb, isn't he a Utah guy?
Yeah.
He was in 18th. He finished 18th overall.
That's Temecula, California, but I thought he was from Utah.
Maybe Karen's been lying to me this whole time.
Right?
There's a dude that's supposed to be from like Eagle Mountain, Utah, but I don't think it's Michael because it says Temecula, California.
I'm going to do some research.
It's Leaf. Wasn't it Leaf, the guy from Utah? Anyway, moving on. So the 450. 450.
Early stages of Alzheimer's over here, folks.
I'm going to ask Karen to do some more like pre-podcast research. She's going to whip out her phone right now. So I'll just like carry this thing from here on.
Meet you at the end.
So let's move on to the 450. So here was the interesting thing about the 450s to me. You had 5 gate drops for the 450s. Remember how I said earlier in the podcast that a lot of the riders, some of the riders don't love the Triple Crowns because of they have to do 3 gate drops with all the best guys. Well, last night they had to do 5 gate drops because two of the main events got red flagged. Case, do you remember why they got red flagged?
One of them was because Chad Reed or on the
yep. Chad Reed was part of the second one.
And
huh?
Then Bogle went down in the whoops.
I think it was Chris Blose in the whoops, and Bogle was somewhere else. But yeah, they had to do, they had to do five.
Blos was the Arizona guy. Yeah, I was Blos. So bummed for him.
Yeah.
He's like in a hometown. He's the only one from Arizona and he, representing.
And he went down. Holler. Well, he represented by making the race start over in that main three. So they had five gate drops, which is crazy. I've never seen five gate drops in one night against all the guys. So that was kind of interesting to see. The other thing that I noticed is Zach Osborne, man, he had the roughest night. He had the roughest night of anyone who basically who started all of those, who started all the events. I mean, the dude just had a hard time. He finished 22, 11, and 22, you know? So, like, how do you get a worse night than that? I mean, that's pretty tough. Like, I feel for the guy. He crashed. He got the whole shot in the first main event, and then he crashes in one of those turns, and just everyone has to go around him. And that was the one. Oh, I can't remember. Adam Ciancerillo had also had a bad night. So, anyway, the big story of the first main event, number one, though, last night, Karen, don't you think, is it wasn't Tomac. It was Roxen.
Yeah, that was awesome.
But it was so we talked about it before the thing. What did we say about Roxen and Tomac in that main one?
In main one? Oh, when Ken was trying, or Roxen was, oh my gosh.
Roxen
Eli
is leading.
Was trying to catch up, shows him a wheel, and then Roxen says, not today, bucko.
So what did you tell me right before the podcast started?
I just said, old Ken's coming back.
Freak, yes. Old, and when she said that, the light bulb went off for me, because here was the deal. Tomac, like in main one, Roxen get, I'm not sure exactly, so Osborne got the whole shot or something, but Ken Roxen is right there and Eli Tomac is right there and there's like the entire race left and you've got Ken Roxen out on the Honda and you got Eli Tomac chasing him down and he's only a couple bike lengths. And I said, absolutely no way Ken Roxen is able to keep Eli Tomac behind, because I thought...
And what did I say?
What did you say? You
I had said,
faith?
Yes, he can.
I said, we can, but will he? Probably not. And holy Jezebel, because Mr. Kenny Boy Roxen showed us he can still race.
He's our new Utah boy.
I mean, yeah, because he's got that house here. But here's the deal. Like, it's so awesome to see, because, okay, so a couple weeks ago, he comes back and he wins a race. But he didn't have a ton of pressure. This time, he literally has the fastest man on the planet right behind him. And Eli Tomac showed him a wheel a couple times. Yeah. And Ken Roxen was like... He just like channeled his inner Ken from 3 or 4 years ago. That guy that was super scary 3 or 4 years ago. And it was like, if Ken Roxen gets out in the front, good luck. We forgot that he was that guy.
He did have crazy surgeries and a cadaver arm and all the stuff that he had going on.
Which is why I thought that guy didn't exist anymore. But somehow he has been able to like rise like a phoenix from the ashes and come back. And last night was the first time I was like, ain't nobody going to catch that SOB.
Oh my gosh. Case, close your ears.
I didn't swear at all. It's still a family show. But it was super awesome, because it was like you have Eli Tomac, the fastest rider in basically all of Supercross, right behind you, and anyone else is going to shrivel up and die. As much as Cooper Webb last year tried to like show he was faster than him, Cooper Webb was not faster than him, and anytime Eli got behind him, Eli had him for breakfast. Anyone who Eli Tomac has gotten behind when he's on, obviously if Eli's in like sixth place or seventh place, sometimes he doesn't decide to ride that fast and he's not on. Even James Stewart said that. I was watching this thing on that, you know, James Stewart does this thing on YouTube now where he kind of breaks down the race, and I was watching it and he was talking about the last one from Anaheim too. And James Stewart is like, Eli Tomac is the craziest rider, because from week to week, it's like a different rider.
Yeah.
Like from one week, he's this fire breathing green dragon that no one can beat. And then the next week, it'll be like he's just hanging out in sixth place. But so when he's hanging out in sixth place and not on the move, he's not scary. But he's up there in second place, right behind the guy, right behind Ken Roxen. And that's when he is scary. He is terrifying.
Even like the body position of Eli Tomac and how his helmet kind of sticks forward and he's got this like, oh, I'm going to eat you.
It's awesome.
You know,
like, it's awesome.
Look on him.
It's awesome.
I can't describe it very well, but.
But I know what you're saying. And obviously we're not super Eli Tomac fans, but when you see him on, it is fun to watch.
But what happened, Case, in our living room when Eli Tomac, took that corner too tight and crashed over?
That was main two, I think, or main three.
happened? Can't remember.
Which we were all screaming so happy. We were like, the best thing in the world happened.
Oh. Even Kaylee, our daughter, who's 14.
But Kaylee's a big Ken Roczen fan.
She's a huge Ken Roczen fan, but it's just kind of funny. She's not usually like one to get in and scream and holler at everyone. Yeah.
But we were screaming. We were just cheering. We weren't happy. I mean, we don't want people to get hurt.
You like could that, tell he wasn't hurt.
That's the last thing. Yeah, that's the last thing we want. In fact, we know we kind of had a reality check because a few years ago when Ken Roczen actually went down and broke his arm and did all that stuff, we were like cheering at the TV. And then we realized how hurt he was. And then
we quickly stopped cheering.
And then we felt so stupid.
Yeah.
We felt so stupid. And so we've kind of had to evolve on that. We're not cheering for people to get hurt. That is the last thing we want. But sometimes if somebody tucks a wheel and goes down, makes a stupid move, we're cheering at the TV. So, sorry, Eli. We were cheering last night when you tucked a wheel. The thing is you're like the
He's
man.
He's probably never going to hear this podcast.
You're invincible. Like, no, Eli texted me. He listens to them all. So me and
Zach
Eli,
Osborne.
Me and Eli are super tight, you know? Oh, you believe that?
No. Okay, moving on.
So Roczen was awesome last night in the main one. In main two, the thing that I kind of wrote down was that AC, on the first turn, Adam C. and Cirillo knocks Zach Osborne out off the track again, and Bogle goes down, and it's a red flag. I mean, Adam C. and Cirillo had a hard night, but Zach had an even harder night. Like, anytime there was a pileup, it was Zach Osborne. What is his thing? Like,
I don't know.
Is he like a magnet? Is he like a...
Because that one around the first turn, that was not his fault. He got knocked into, and then him and Chad Reed got hooked up.
Every turn in the thing, maybe besides like one, he crashed in the first turn or the second turn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they redo it, and Ken Roczen just set sail. I mean, he's on a different level right now, which is super awesome to see. His starts are dialed in. He's right there. He's in first, second, or third on the starts. The last several weeks, it seems like, and there was one last night, one of the five starts where he wasn't there, but the other times he's right up there. I think Ricky Carmichael said it's poetry in motion to watch Ken Roczen, and so I don't want to use that because that's what Ricky Carmichael said, but there is something about Ken Roczen's riding style that is just so buttery smooth that it makes it look like he's not even trying.
Yeah, through the whoops, did you notice how smooth he was? Even compared to Eli Tomac, there were a few shots where they had the front view of both riders of coming towards the camera, and Ken Roczen was smooth as butter. And then Eli's trying to catch him, and his hind wheel's like all over the place. And I'm like, this is just a different caliber of whoop riding today.
They were different.
Interesting.
Yeah, because the last week it was the flip flop. Last week in Anaheim 2, Eli Tomac was he won the race is in the whoops. But this week Ken just put his head down, and he's just like I said, he just has this like silver style where Eli looks aggressive and he looks like he is just manhandling the bike, and he's just like willing the bike to do what he wants, and you're like, wow. But Ken has this style that looks so smooth, it almost looks like it's slow motion. I mean, that's kind of how I felt last night. Is you couldn't really tell he was going fast, except for the fact that he was the only guy in the frame.
So I think the difference between the two riders is Ken Roczen, like you said, like Eli Tomac maybe is manhandling his bike, but Ken Roczen is one with his bike.
Want to know what the difference is?
See, I thought, no, I'm not going to argue with that at all. I thought you were going to go like, Eli is manhandling it, but Ken is, playing it like a woman or something. Like,
no, he's like one with it. They're like one.
They're working in
unit.
Unison.
Yeah.
They're like a perfect couple. So it's like the perfect.
Getting weird again.
It's
over
like
here.
The perfect married couple over there, like perfect team biking.
What were you going to say, Gaze?
It's like, comparing Eli Tomac and Ken Roczen going in the whoops, it looks like Ken Roczen is just like Ken. It looks like Ken Roczen is like just going on like cement, going straight.
Ooh.
And Tomac's on like in the whoops, and he's just going side to side.
Well, Tomac is normally phenomenal in the whoops. I think that there's a few guys that are really good in the whoops. I would say Eli Tomac is historically really good in the whoops. Blake Baggett is good in the whoops. Malcolm Stewart is a beast in the whoops.
Yeah, he was smooth.
We've seen Malcolm Stewart pass two guys at once in the whoops. I mean, he's really good. And sometimes Adam Ciancerillo is good in the whoops too. But then he doesn't quite have it yet. So and then in the main three, Osborne and Reed go down. They cause a red. They go down in the first turn, but they didn't cost the red flag. It was Blos, Chris Blos there through the whoops. The whoops were bad. Guys had a really hard time in the whoops. And then Osborne set sail again. So in that last main, because Osborne was able to, Roxen gets the whole shot in basically the fifth gate drop, and then he just set sail. And the one thing that I wanted to bring out was Adam Ciancerillo and Cooper Webb had a little bit of back and forth going on last night. Those guys have some history, and then Adam Ciancerillo passes Webb, and he goes down. I can't remember where it was. Maybe it was towards the end of the whoops or somewhere, and Cooper Webb has to ride over Adam Ciancerillo's bike. He almost gets caught by the handlebar. And I don't know what happened to Ciancerillo after that. Like, let's see, what did he do?
Well, Ciancerillo took that hard fall.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. They say he finished in 17th, but I think there was only actually 17 people in that last main.
Yeah, because when they had the fifth gate drop, there was the whole left side was practically empty.
Yeah, I think there were five guys gone. So I don't think Adam Ciancerillo even really finished the main three. He started it, but he didn't finish it.
That flip over his bike was scary.
It looked gnarly.
I thought he broke his tailbone or something.
And I don't know. We haven't seen any press releases about him, but it looked like, yeah.
Well, he said he's okay and he's going to ride next week.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
He said that on Instagram?
Yeah, it was Christian Craig who's not going to ride for the next 2 weeks probably.
I'm really glad that Karen's keeping up on these dudes on Instagram because I'm not following them.
Yeah.
By the way.
In my spare time.
By the way, speaking of not following things, I just wanted to bring up some, and maybe we should have done this at the beginning of the podcast. Just want to say rest in peace, Kobe Bryant.
Oh, yeah. And his daughter.
Dude. Kobe Bryant, I'm not a huge basketball fan, but Kobe Bryant.
He's a legend.
That was so sad.
People know him. People want to be him.
Yeah, and we were watching SportsCenter tonight, and they had apparently like today on Sunday, a bunch of the teams, they did like tributes to him and everything. A bunch of teams took 24-second shot clock violations because he wore number 8 and number 24. So a lot of the teams were doing an 8-second backcourt violation, and then a bunch of teams did 24-second shot clock violations. Yeah. And we're sitting there watching the TV, and I'm trying to barbecue some chicken, and I was tearing up on freaking ESPN about the tributes to Kobe Bryant.
I know, I had to hand you a tissue.
Anyway, that was super powerful.
Many of you don't know that Kyle's got this weak side. He's mush sometimes.
It's not a weak side. It's a strength. Soft.
I should say soft side. I meant to say soft side. I was actually reading Adam Ciancerillo over here, and he's like, I had a weak, weird kick in the whoops. And the rest was history. So I got my weak and weird.
Yeah. Anyway, so moving on from that, prayers go out to Kobe Bryant's family. I mean, his girls and his wife. Obviously, one of his girls was with him who died in the helicopter. If you haven't seen or heard of that, Kobe Bryant died in a helicopter accident today on January 26th. He was 41 years old. Probably you'll already know that when you listen to this podcast, but I just wanted to throw it out there. I was going to put something up on Dirt Bike Channel, but I'm like, it just felt weird that I never talk about anything basketball, and all of a sudden, anyway, but I talked about it here. So that was super sad. But yeah, it was really cool to see Ken Roczen just dominate, because in the end, he was 1-1-1.
Yeah, that was cool.
And then Eli Tomac was 2-2-3. And then Jason Anderson rounding out the podium there at 5-3-2. You know, so we've talked about Ken a lot. I just to wrap it up with Ken, it's super awesome to see him back. And just like Karen mentioned, Roczen is who we're talking about. I think the old Ken Roczen is back, and that is super super amazing to see. couldn't be happier for the guy. I was just wanting him to get one win this season. And right now, he is my definite pick for overall. I mean, I know he's probably winning. He is the points leader, but we've only gone through four rounds, so anything could happen. It's totally open. Eli Tomac could win the championship. Jason Anderson could win the championship.
Could be that black horse, that dark horse.
Oh, huh? Yeah, he totally is. And you've Jason got Anderson. You've got Cooper Webb could still be there. Who do you think out of that, out of the other guys, who do you think has a chance? Obviously, Ken Roczen, Eli Tomac, Jason Anderson, maybe Cooper. Who else could have a shot at the championship, honestly?
Malcolm Stewart?
No, I don't, because Malcolm Stewart has never even won one yet.
Barsha? I don't know.
See, I'm not buying it anymore.
I'm not either.
I'm not buying Barsha.
Barsha.
And you know who else I'm not buying right now? Is Adam Ciancerillo. I love the guy, and I think he's got a good long career ahead of him. But I'm not buying it right
when
now.
When we were rooting for Ken Roczen and then Adam goes down, I know that they're good buddies. And I just thought, I hope he doesn't get, you know, mixed up or whatever, because his good buddy just crashed. And it looked like, you know, Adam was going to be seriously hurt because he had his tailbone on the upside of that hill. And so I was doing some, you know, Instagram stalking, and I realized that... he's got a nickname. Ken Roczen has a nickname for Adam Ciancerillo. Did you know this?
What is it?
Bro Beans. Brother Beans.
Brother
Beans? I
don't
know where that came from.
He calls him brother or bro?
It's B-R-O and then Beans.
So I don't think it's brother. It's Bro Beans. It's got to be Bro Beans.
Oh, man. I laughed so hard. It just hit me right.
And we don't know what the context is?
Well, no. He calls him that a couple of times.
Hey, Bro Beans.
He said, this is him talking about Adam's, it's Adam's post, and he's like, had a weird kick in the whoops, and the rest was history. I got checked out, and it's nothing serious, so I'm pumped on that. Really sore, to say the least, though. And so then Ken Roczen makes a comment, and he says, glad you're okay, Bro Beans.
I'm so glad that Karen is here to give the Instagram context that I am too busy to even watch for. So man. Thank you for adding that.
Bro Beans, if anyone knows about that, reach out to us.
Yeah, I mean, there's not really
interesting,
there's not really a good way to comment on these podcasts, but like, email me. I don't want to give Karen's email out on I'm Kyle at Dirt Bike Channel, but you can
figure. I'm nothing at Dirt Bike Channel.
No, she's the best at Dirt Bike. In fact, I need to give you an alias. Oh, and that way I'm going to have Karen start to return some of these emails.
No, I don't have time for that.
So Roczen for the win. I think Roczen, I'm pulling for him. I mean, we were pulling for him from the championship, but I think he has a legit shot right now.
What do you think, Case?
Pull this thing off.
Do you think he can pull it off?
Yeah.
Is that who you're rooting for?
Who do you think's going to pull it off, Case? Championship.
Roczen.
K-Rock? Well, that's a good thing. It's either going to be Ken Roczen, Eli Tomac, or, I don't know, Jason Anderson could do it. Technically, Cooper Webb could do it, but I'm not buying Cooper Webb right now. And it doesn't matter to me. I don't care what color bike they have. At this point, I pull for the riders, not the brands. It's just who you signed a contract with.
Yeah,
I could care less if you're riding for Yamaha, KTM, you know, Kawasaki, you know, Honda, whatever. I'm interested in the riders themselves. I want to see them do well. It's like Justin Hill. Justin Hill, I think, is a boss. Justin Hill's number 46. I think he's ridden like three different color bikes since I started paying attention to him. He's a cool dude. He's like he's a bro. He's not Brother Beans. But
and Dean Wilson, he's cool.
Yeah, he's super cool. I don't care if he's on a white Husky bike. I'd be a Dean Wilson fan no matter what. You know,
you're not a bike racist.
I am not. I don't care. I am no respecter of bike color. You know, Chad Reed has been on every stinking color of bike. And I haven't been the biggest Chad Reed fan ever, but you got to respect what he's done.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, but Chad had a rough night because he got 18th, 19th, and 19th. So he had a pretty darn rough night. But at this point, Chad doesn't care about finishing the races. He just wants to get in.
Starting.
He just wants to get into the main. So that's pretty much how that goes. Anyway,
someone tell Jason Anderson to tuck in his shirt too.
It's the El Hombre thing. It's his it's his shtick. He's faster when the tail is whapping in the wind. Don't you know this? It's like his superpower. It's like telling Samson to cut off his hair. It's like telling Eli Tomac to button both buckles on his pants.
Oh man.
Did I just
anyway,
do that?
We'll see you next week, everyone.
Hey, we can't end on that. We have to say the whole, like, hey, we're glad that you're here and blah, 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 and subscribe to the podcast.
I want
to
start the music over again.
I'm not. We had to start this thing over twice in the beginning. Now that we're 34 minutes into this, I'm not starting anything over.
I'm just saying, turn the music down.
If that would be super. That, you know how unprofessional
that would
be?
Thank you for listening, everyone.
Karen is trying to get out of here. She wants to go to bed. I have to, meanwhile, edit this thing and then get it uploaded and write all the things for it and get it published on every media outlet. Karen can just, like, hang up the headphones and walk upstairs and get, like, a Dr. Pepper dirty.
Put the children to bed. That's what I gotta do.
Some of them are already to bed. Anyway, okay. Until next week. Where are we at next week? Where's the race next week? How do we not even know this?
I don't know.
It's somewhere. And they will be racing, and we will cover it next week on the Monday Morning Podcast. Thanks, guys, and wherever
you
go.
That's the longest ending we've ever had, hopefully forever.
Wherever you go, leave a
single track.